Abba Father, you
are. Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
Years and years ago, I read a book by Mark Batterson called The Circle Maker about prayer. Perhaps one of the best books on prayer I've ever read. And he initiated in my concept to pray that God would do things that we can't explain and we don't understand. I want him to do things above and beyond, extraordinary things. Most recently, I listened to an Easter message from a fellow pastor in the Detroit area, Sterling Heights, Michigan. And he made the statement, too many things are happening in church that we can explain. And I was reminded again of that prayer that I learned years ago. I'm so glad that we have this book and there are so many things I can understand and know and build my life upon. These are fabulous truths right here. And yet God is not limited to these pages. Within these pages we discover He is capable of doing things that were not even on our map. Nowhere near our planning. He answered prayer for His people in this book like, where did that come from? Children of Israel enter a battle and their leader is weak and they hold up his arms and the battle's wavering one way or another. When they hold his arms, they start winning. Now that doesn't make a lick of human sense. I cannot explain that. I don't understand it, but it was an act of God. Another area, they were facing some trouble. The battle was wearing on. It looked like they didn't know what was going to happen and it's about to get dark. So God extended the day. Lengthen the day. I don't understand that. If I understand anything about science, if our days are any longer, the earth, the planet roasts under the power of the sun. And the other half freezes. Not when God says. Amen. Amen. I want Him to work in lives and families and communities in ways that I don't fully understand. I'm going to live by the power of His clear instruction, but I'm inviting Him regularly to do things where I simply have to say, I don't know. Look what the Lord has done. Look how the Lord has moved. Look how He has changed a life. Look how He has put a family back together. Look how He has provided a job. Look how He has changed a financial circumstance. Look what the Lord has done. Amen, amen. Appreciate very much your faith, your confidence in the things of God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's been a few weeks since I've ministered the word of the Lord. We had our block party last week, and the week before that, my wife and I were on a little vacation. And so, as you all know very well, if I haven't preached for a few weeks, it's going to be a real long sermon today. Amen. I got to make up for some lost time. Appreciate our children's ministry. Those that help, serve, minister to our children. Bringing the gospel, the word of the Lord in an age-appropriate fashion. And helping us with our children. Amen. Great to have everybody here today. Turn to somebody, just smile at them, big as you can. Say, man, I'm glad you're here today. Man, I'm glad you're here today. Come on, force yourself if you have to. They're required. Well, I'm glad you're here today. Great to have you here today. Amen. Amen. Before we're seated, I just want to mention a couple of weeks ago in my absence, we watched online afterwards. Brother Drew delivered a perfect message to prepare us for the block party. The story of Dorcas and her influential kindness, it certainly set the tone for our event last week. And this wonderful group of disciples displayed kindness in every way last weekend in our block party. I will declare unashamedly, it was an overwhelming success. Based on counts at the Welcome Center, we did a one-time count at about 1 o'clock, 2 hours in. Based on the amount of food that was consumed and that we ran out of, we welcomed between 175 and 200 guests at our block party last weekend. Why don't you give yourself a hand for what you've done? What a tremendous effort. 175 folks, primarily from our neighborhood, primarily young families. 175 at least that represented every nearby ethnicity. Then multiple languages were on display at our block party on Saturday. 175 from every economic status, every spiritual status. It was an amazing, amazing day. And I just want to say to everyone who invested their time, talent, treasure, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank the Lord for His blessings as well. Can we just thank the Lord for His goodness right now? Would you do that? Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your people. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for Your impact. We thank You, Lord, for ministering to people. We thank You, Lord, for blessing our neighborhood, our community. We thank You, Lord, for the ability and the favor. We thank You, Lord, for everything You have done and accomplished, O Lord, in this time. And the things we're yet to see to be accomplished. We thank You for it, Lord. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, in your mind's eye, in your imagination, would you picture with me a city? The city sits on a broad bay. In fact, that bay has a deep natural harbor. And so that city's a shipping hub, facilitating merchants by land and by sea. The city sits on a fault line, close to a fault line. And so occasionally the city feels the impact of a seismic activity. And yet the city hosts a great year-round residency. And then there's seasonal homes to enjoy the weather and the water. In fact, this city is not too far removed from the largest city in the entire region. And because of its deep harbor and the shipping aspects and strategic location, the city also hosts a naval station. Now, this local community of this city is a prosperous community, and it's distinguished by its social and cultural and religious diversity. Various gods are welcomed and worshipped in this city. Gods such as Aphrodite, and Isis, and Poseidon, and Dionysus, and Pan. The city is Cenchrea. Cenchrea is a city in Greece, a few miles removed from Corinth. Cenchrea, the city, is just mentioned twice in Scripture. First time it's mentioned is in Acts chapter 18. The Apostle Paul stops by there for a haircut before he boards a ship for Syria. Oh, the interesting things that are recorded in Scripture. And then in Romans chapter 16, we learn there is a church in Cenchrea. And we learn there's a person there who is influential in that community of disciples. Her name is Phoebe. And Phoebe is the only person that we know of from the church in Cenchrea. And so today I preach, what's your story, Phoebe? The Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 16. Let's look at the two verses that relate to this woman of God. Paul writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially to me. Phoebe, our sister, Paul writes. And by that kind of greeting, he's recognizing her as a fellow disciple of Christ. Because when we share the Lord of glory as our heavenly Father, then disciples refer to one another as brothers and sisters. Now here's what's intriguing about these two verses and where they're included. In fact, all of chapter 16 is included with a number of names of people you've probably never heard of, because Paul is really in a greeting frame of mind in Romans 16. But he kicks off with this particular commendation. Why is that? Because it's generally assumed that Paul's letter to Rome, the book of Romans, was delivered to that congregation by Phoebe. She was the courier. She was the one entrusted with this letter to encourage the people, the disciples of Rome. And so these verses serve to introduce her to the believers in Rome. The commendations like this were common in the time for a courier or a messenger, because the people receiving the letter might not know the courier or the messenger. So within the letter there would be a commendation validating, this person has my seal of approval. You can trust them. You can believe in them. This is indeed from me, the author, in this case, Paul. And so with his commendation, Paul says then to the Christians in Rome, welcome her in the Lord and help her in whatever she needs. Phoebe, our sister. Phoebe's a fellow disciple. Remember, this series is about real people, real lives. I want us to be reminded that Phoebe was just one of us. A believer, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, one of us. Now, in these few sentences, it also reveals this, that Phoebe is helpful. It says she's helpful to many, and she's helpful to Paul. In some translations, her helpfulness finds her labeled as a benefactor or a patron. So her helpfulness has to do with physical things and financial provision. She supported others both with her skills and with her funds. Phoebe invested in people. Well, Paul's commendation indicates that Phoebe had even taken it on herself to ensure the practical well-being of many people. And she did it through hospitality, and she did it through cash assistance. And so, Cenchrea, it's this busy port city. There are many opportunities for a believer like Phoebe to be a blessing and help other people. It's possible that her house is where they hosted the church in Cenchrea. It's likely by the things that she accomplished and did that she was a person of wealth. And she leveraged her know-how and her finances in order to help other people. And her patronage was so important that Paul makes a special note in this commendation. She was a help and is helpful, especially to me. To understand that the greatest missionary of his era, perhaps of all time, was especially indebted to the assistance and the helpfulness of Phoebe. She helped many people, and Paul wanted that congregation in Rome to know it. He wanted them to honor her. They wanted in return to help her in any way she required, because when you see Phoebe, she's a helper. And when you think about a helper, you think about Phoebe. In his commendation, Paul instructed, welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Worthy of honor among God's people. Phoebe's life was worthy of recognition. Paul said, you know what? You need to appreciate her and you need to respect her. Her actions, her lifestyle, her character were proven. They weren't under question. She was proven as an individual. Repeatedly and consistently, she helped. She was invested. She was involved. She was engaged. She was a noble woman, perhaps just as described by King Lemuel in Proverbs 31, a renowned passage in Scripture in Proverbs that designates the values of a noble woman. In Proverbs 31 and verse 16, it says, she goes to inspect the field and buys it. And with her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong and a hard worker in verse 17. In verse 18, she makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Phoebe was industrious. Phoebe had some business savvy. Phoebe was motivated rather than to lay back on her laurels in her nice house in a nice seaside town with her money. No doubt she could afford some servants. No doubt she could have afforded to just hang around the house and enjoy the luxuries of her benefits solely for herself. But instead, here's a lady who is motivated to do something with what's been given to her, to do something with what's been placed in her hands. And the choice of what she would do is, I want to help other people. She's worthy of honor. She's worthy of honor. Proverbs 31 and 26, it speaks more about such a woman. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. She's thoughtful. She's intentional. She's persistent. And because of these noble traits, King Lemuel writes this in verse 28, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Her family recognizes and values her for her persons, for who she is and how she gives of herself. And then the writer here goes on to reflect true values. The king observes in verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty doesn't last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Verse 31, not only praised of the Lord, reward her for all she has done, let her deeds publicly declare her praise. You see, Paul commended Phoebe because of her helpful deeds. As was laid out in Proverbs by King Lemuel, this woman Phoebe was like that Proverbs 31 woman. Her life was worthy of honor. In fact, Phoebe was so worthy, so proven, as Scripture records, she was a deacon in the church in Cenchrea, a servant of the church. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy regarding church leadership. Why do you want to go there, preacher? Well, I want us to understand how Paul understood leadership and a deacon and what he was saying then about Phoebe. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, look how Paul talks about church leaders. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be an elder, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? A church leader must not be a new believer because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Verse 7, also people outside the household of believers, the church, must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. We're starting to get a picture of Paul's perception of church leadership. And he continues on in verse 8. He says, in the same way, deacons must be well respected, have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed. Everyone say, the mystery's revealed. Mm-hmm. And must live with a clear conscience. Before they're appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife. He must manage his children and household well. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. Paul makes his understanding very clear. Deacons were vetted. You didn't just go off to the Vista print and get yourself some business card printed up and put your name and underline it deacon. It doesn't work that way. You don't just declare, well, I've warmed a pew for a number of decades. Surely I'm a deacon now. No, it doesn't work that way. Paul made it very clear there are some aspects, some considerations, some expectancies, and there's going to be an interview process. There's going to be a vetting process. And when he says of Phoebe, she's a deacon of the church in Cenchrea, we understand this woman is proven. She is proven by her peers in ministry. She is proven by her congregation. Here's a lady who has respected incredibly. She fulfilled that scrutiny, and Paul honored her. She was an influential worker in the church. Phoebe's a sister. She's one of us. She's a helper of many. She's a deacon worthy of honor. And Paul commended Phoebe to the Roman congregation. I commend to you. So when Phoebe arrives in Rome, you and I should appreciate another reason for her commendation. That she accomplished the delivery of Paul's letter, and that was no small task. It's likely that Paul wrote the Roman book, the letter to the Romans. He wrote it in Corinth. So it makes sense. Phoebe is a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. It's a nearby city. She lives in a port town. She understands things about travel. So for Phoebe to take Paul's letter from Corinth to Rome would have involved at least 600 miles by land and crossing the Adriatic Sea, which have been a minimum of 70 nautical miles. Travel in Phoebe's day was by foot or maybe by donkey. And on the best days and the best terrain, you could travel 25 miles by foot or by donkey in Phoebe's day. So if conditions were great for the entire trip, Phoebe spent 24 days just getting to Rome on land, plus at least a day traveling in boat by sea, and then the same amount of time to get back home to her house in Cenchrea. Can I surrender to our understanding today that her entire journey may have consumed 2 months of her life in order to deliver Paul's letter to the Roman believers? To cross the sea, even 70 nautical miles at the closest point between those land gaps, there were no ships carrying passengers. She didn't just jump on a Washington State ferry or get on a water taxi and head across a dependable vessel. She would have traveled on a cargo ship. And only if space was available. And if no boats are leaving today to cross where I need to cross, you don't travel today. You wait until there's a boat, and cargo gets priority. You're not fed. You can get some water. There isn't a room for you. There's not a place to stay. You make yourself comfortable as best you can on the deck of that ship while the ship's workers, perhaps oarsmen or sailors, operate that boat full of merchandise across the sea, and that's the way Phoebe traveled. The distance she would have traveled by boat at minimum is equal to by boat from Everett to Olympia. By boat. In our waterways. And even with modern boat travel, if you check, they are recommending more than 10 hours it would take to go by boat from Everett to Olympia. That's not rowing. That's not, could be by sailing. Traveling by ship in Phoebe's day was dangerous. Most people were reluctant to do it or fearful to do it. Even Paul himself told the Corinthians, 3 times I've been shipwrecked. It was a risky business. And yet when Paul finishes dictating his letter to Rome, it's handed to him by the scribe Tertius. Paul rolls up that scroll, looks around the room, perhaps summons her to where he's writing, and he hands that scroll to Phoebe and says, Phoebe, will you deliver this to the believers in Rome? Knowing what it took, understanding what she faced, she said, yes, I will go. Absolutely, here's a disciple of Christ who is worthy of all commendation. Here's somebody who said, for the cause of Christ, I will travel at risk. For the cause of Christ, I'll go for 2 months' time. For the cause of Christ, I will fund my trip and take care of expenses, and I'll make sure they get it. And she succeeded. Rome got the letter. And so did we. And so did we. Because a woman named Phoebe was a helper, an amazing child of God. That's Phoebe's story. At least what we know. How, what way does that story, does her story impact or possibly impact my story? What does her story mean to me? I don't know about you, but in my perspective, it seems that every disciple, every follower of Christ cannot help but be inspired by this influential woman. Cannot help but be inspired by her desire, her interest, her sacrifice, her commitment. This lady is to be regarded and respected. We've got to be impressed by her know-how, her service to others, that she has financial resources and shares them, and certainly she was courageous. I can't speak for you, but I'll say it for me. Her life challenges me. Will I be helpful and commendable as Phoebe has been? Will I be inspired to her level of service and engagement, her willingness to invest in others? Will I live as she lived? Phoebe was helpful. Apparently, no task was beyond her servant heart. Faced with the amazing duty of delivering Paul's letter to Rome, she agreed and she did it and she accomplished her mission. Phoebe was a patron. an amazing helper of others, of her church, and of the missionary, the Apostle Paul. And in that mindset, I want to do some commending today. I commend the many, many Phoebes who made that block party possible. I commend you who are worthy of honor. I commend those who helped 175 at least of our neighbors. Like Phoebe, you helped many others. I commend you who planned for weeks, who made orders and purchases, who coordinated all these necessary elements, who worked many hours to make sure we've got some carnival kind of games and decorations and signs and staging of the same and organization of tables and chairs and tent structures to cover us. You, Phoebes, arrived in force at 9 a.m. Saturday morning, and you set up and you hosted an event and you stuck around afterwards for another couple of hours cleaning up. Thank God for the Phoebes. I commend the Phoebes among us today. As Drew preached Dorcas' kindness the week prior, it was clearly on display in that parking lot. Hear me today. Among all the Phoebes working, among all the Phoebes laboring, among all the Phoebes serving, you know what I saw? I saw smiles on faces at all times. There wasn't any frustration. There wasn't any confusion. There wasn't any division. There was camaraderie and there was harmony. There was glad serving of one another, focused on the purpose and on the outcome. We weren't thinking about the work. We were thinking about the people we could help and serve. Thank you, Phoebe. Throughout the day, I walked all over that parking lot. Once in a while, I sat down, but mostly I moved all around. I tried to thank everyone that helped. If I missed you, I apologize, but I tried to be very intentional and thank you for serving and helping. I want you to know that responses absolutely blessed me. I thanked one of our Phoebes, one of our helpers, and before I could get it out of my mouth, she immediately replied, "This church is awesome. Everyone has worked together so hard in one accord. It's an amazing place to be. Phoebe, I commend you." There's one couple I'm particularly impacted. I thanked them separately when the other wasn't around, and when I thanked them, each of them answered the same way. I said, "Thank you for all you're doing today." And their response was, "It is a privilege. Phoebe, I commend you in the kingdom of God helping many." Last weekend, we saw a display from this congregation where there were Phoebes of all ages. There were Phoebes who were longtime disciples and working along Phoebes that are fresh disciples. There were solid disciples that were working with tentative disciples. There were Phoebes on the move last week. There's another couple, blows my mind. They came early, stayed with their children throughout the entire event, ran games, served, helpers for sure. And then after everything was tidied up, after everything was beginning to get taken care of and tore down, then the family got in the car to drive 18 hours and start their vacation. But they didn't leave until they'd done their Phoebe business for the kingdom of God. Another Phoebe, we met her about a year ago. Mostly she just socializes with our congregation, but she was here on Saturday early and she was working and setting up She didn't want no help. She was pulling wagons and setting things up, tearing things down. She was helping one of our neighbors. Started a while back. You guys doing that thing again this year? You tell me. I'm going to hand out flyers for you. And he did. And he worked this whole neighborhood handing out flyers on our behalf. He just socializes with us on occasion, but he got a spirit of helping us out. Phoebe. Phoebe's alive and well. As Paul emphasized about church leaders, he said, it's important that people outside of the church speak well of us. That's what Paul said. It's important that our neighbors like us, or at least we try to get them to like us. I'm so grateful for the great relationships we have with our neighbors. I'm so grateful for Our Lady of Perpetual Help School. Principal Wartell graciously opens their parking lot for us to use. They're very accommodating. They are tremendous neighbors. I hope we are continuing to make an important impression on our neighbors. Many times as our helpers here, different crews went out distributing flyers throughout this neighborhood and our community. They enjoyed some fine conversations. One of our helpers met a former chairperson of the neighborhood association here in Bayside neighborhood. When he handed her the flyer, she said, I already know about that event. I saw it on Facebook. And she began to question what we were doing and why we were doing it and the awareness and the blessing. Somebody from the Salvation Army approached one of our helpers and said, what you're doing here is awesome. And I want to partner. We want to partner with you next year to serve our community. While I was walking the crowd, I noticed a handful of 20-somethings over playing the life-size Jenga. You know, the 2x4s that when they fall, get out the way. I went over to tease them just about something like that. A very open and cordial and social group of 20-somethings. And I began to talk to them. Come to find out, he's the youth pastor of a church about 5 blocks east. And he said, what you're doing here is awesome. Thank you for serving the community. This is great. We had people come back from last year. We haven't seen them for a year. But they remembered us. And they came back. Did you take any time to look at the food tables? Swarmed with people. A mix of people. Eating at the same tables. And waiting for the next raffle drawing. Oh, the raffle prizes. Those didn't just show up. You know, you donated. You donated. You made sure there were nice gifts to be given away. You made sure that every kid that received a toy had a big old smile on their face. Even adults. Later in the day, a neighbor friends came by and started to visit with us and said, hey, did you get a raffle ticket? Oh, no, I didn't get a raffle ticket. You want to get a raffle ticket? There's prizes for adults as well. That's okay. You want a raffle ticket? The next prize is a $200 gift card. And that neighbor said, $200? Where are the tickets? How are you able to bless people like that? Because you decided to have a Phoebe spirit. Because you decided, I have been blessed and I want to bless some other people. I want to impact my community like Sincrea. The kindness, the welcoming, impacted attendees. I have evidence that people came and while they were there, they were telling all their friends about it. Mike and I were sitting on the corner here. It was after 1 o'clock. Young lady comes up with 2 children. Hey, great to have you guys. Come on in. Make yourself welcome. We still got some food. She said, I just found out about this. And we wanted to come over before it was over. Somebody who came was telling other people that you need to come and visit, and she was hurried to participate after we were already tearing down. Shut down the grills. We started taking down some of the tent structures, the awnings. In comes a well-dressed middle-aged couple. And they just started looking over everything that was there. They saw us tearing down, but they came in anyway, and they walked the entire parking lot. And they were looking at what we had done in the carnival games. And they were looking at what was going on with the speakers. And they came on around and were looking at the face painting station, what was remaining of it. And as they came around and started headed toward the gates, I cut them off at the pass. Started talking with them a little bit. They said, "What is this? Who is doing this?" And in the sound of their voice, you could hear, "Why would you?" And they left saying, "This is great. This is great." And maybe there are others who would question, "Why? Why would people give? Why would people donate? Why would people work? Why would people help?" Because like Phoebe, our prayer is that our actions present the love of Jesus Christ. Because there's something about a Phoebe spirit that has developed and taken root and is blossoming and growing within individuals in this congregation. There is a Phoebe atmosphere. You know what? We want to help as we are able. We want to bless people as we are able in the Lord's abundant blessings. I don't have a fat wallet. I don't have a massive bank account. I don't live in a big old fine home. But I am blessed in kingdom blessings, and there are abundances that I have been given, and I want to share them with others. May the spirit of Phoebe continue abundantly among us. May the spirit of Phoebe, the helper, the one who blessed others, continue among us. If that's your prayer, would you just raise your hands right now and invite the presence of the Lord to inspire? Lord, it's our desire, it's our hope, it's our goal. We want to see, Lord, this atmosphere continue. Lord, we want the privilege. What a privilege of helping in your kingdom, oh Lord. What a privilege of serving our neighborhood and our community, oh God. What a privilege it is to be blessed by you, to abundantly know of your goodness, oh Lord. What a privilege and a blessing, oh Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to be a blessing to others. Thank you, oh Lord, for an opportunity to serve and to invest. Thank you, Lord, for our neighbors. Thank you, Lord, for our community. Thank you, Lord, for our neighborhood. Thank you, Lord, for all those who came by, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for all those who visited among us. The spirit of Phoebe. The spirit of Phoebe. The example of Phoebe. You know, as I read about that sacrifice and I read about that investment, as I understand what's going on there, I also recognize that's not a very American approach. It's not an overwhelming number of Americans that are looking to be a helper in any way possible. There are those, thank God. There are those that still maintain a Phoebe spirit. But you know what? The people of God, we ought to be the ones. Set the example. Serve, minister in our communities. Kindness, cordialness, our abilities, our time to serve. To serve. I just want to tell you, I'm incredibly grateful for your service. Thank you for your example. I think each of you is worthy of honor. Great events just won't happen without great helpers. Folks gathering around to serve. To serve. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I always want Phoebe's story to be our story. Amen? Amen. 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 And that's what I have for you today. Thank you. And let's keep after it.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church.
In the Holy Ghost, you give me peace.